Hare Krishna, Radha Kala, Chanji Dham, Hare Krishna. To all the assembled devotees, to those that are seen and unseen, again, I come before the Lord getting the pure mercy of my Guru, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, of Radha Kala Chanji. It's always a blessing. And when I come before anyone, always tell you in advance, if there are any imperfections or any mistakes that I made, don't blame it on my guru, blame it on me, because that means that I've probably not remembered or studied enough. But it's always a purification process to be in the association of devotees. And it's always very key to have sadhu sangha. We're going to be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Text 17, Chapter 17, Text 44. But before we do that, we always like to sing and get the mercy of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga and all the assembled devotees. And then you can tolerate me as I learn how to do this. Maybe sometime in my life I'll learn how to play. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivana Dari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivana Dari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Kala Chandi, Radha Kala Chandi, Radhe. Kala Chandi, Radha Kala Chandi, Radhe. Jaya Radha Kala Chandi, Radha Kala Chandi, Radhe. Jaya Jaya Jagannath. Jagannath, Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Jagannath, 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 Jaya 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 Baladev, 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 Jaya Jaya Baladev. Jaya Subhadra, 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 Jaya Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jaya Subhadra, 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 Jaya 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 Gornitai, 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 Jaya Jaya Gornitai, Jaya Jaya Gornitai, Gornitai. Gorni Tai Jaya Jaya Gorni Nitai Goro Haribo 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 Nitai Goro Haribo Nitai Goro Haribo 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 Nitai Goro Hari Nitai Goro Haribo Haribo Hari bol nitai goro hari bol nitai goro hari bol hari bol hari bol nitai goro hari bol Srila Prabhupada ki jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai Gaura Premananda
I may not be on my toes all the time, but we have visitors. Or maybe you're not visitors. Maybe it's me that doesn't notice so many things. Prabhus, where are you from? Missouri. Yes. Mohan Prabhu was there. And they just left? And my godbrother. Yes. Very nice. I hear wonderful things about you. You devotees really get around. So I hope this is not the last time you're coming around.
No.
To Radha Kala Chandi Dham, because we are definitely blessed when we have your enthusiasm. It's always inspiring. It is always inspiring when someone sings back to you and someone really gets into the Maha Mantra. You don't know it, you don't see it, but it does have an impact. So we're very grateful that you're here. How long are you going to be here?
We're leaving after breakfast. Sorry. Oh,
no. What? No. No. But you'll be coming back through here sometime this year, maybe?
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for leading that nice Jai Radha Madhava. It's easy to sing back when somebody's doing a really good job leading. Thank you.
Vice versa. So good. So you get a chance to watch the purifications of the Lord, and my guru takes me through. each time. One should never come and think they know everything, because that's when Krishna and Guru trip you up. It's like, oh, you know everything? So let me show you what you don't know. So always I ask for the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. Very much appreciated. Very glad you're here. So let's see. Canto 11 is covering the description of the Vanashram system. And so we're going to be reading text 44. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Samudarantiye vipram ze siddhantamat parayanam tan udarishe nakchirat apadbiyo no ivanadvat samudarantiye vipram siddhantamat parayanam tan udarishe nakchirat apadbiyo no ivanadvat samudarantiye vipram Siddhantamat pariyanam tad udarishe nacharad apadbiyo no ivarnavat. If any of you would like to repeat? Samudaranti ye vibram Siddhantamat pariyanam tan udarishe nacharad Apadbiyo nor ivanavat. Samudaranti ye vipram Siddhantamat parayanam Tanudarishe nacharad Apadbiyo nor ivanavat. Samudarante ye vipram Siddhanta mat pariyanam Tan udarishe nacharat Apadbiyo nirvanavat. So we'll do word for word. Samudarante, uplift, yea, those who, vipram, a brahmana or devotee, siddhantam, suffering from poverty, matparayanam, surrendered to me, tan, those who have uplifted, Udarishe, I will uplift, Nacharat, in the near future, Apadbhya, from all miseries, Naha, a boat, Iva, like, Arnavat, from the ocean. Translation is just as a ship rescues those who have fallen into the ocean. Similarly, I very quickly rescue from all calamities those persons who uplift brahmanas and devotees suffering in a poverty-stricken condition. I'm sure there are a number of shlokas that specifically hone in on those that have not necessarily taken diksha. But then again, we are all devotees. But this is very specific. And again, the scriptures are written in such a way that everything is covered. All of our questions are answered. If we're really paying attention, there are instructions to every single thing that we do in life. There's an answer to every question. And it's so important to stick around as a devotee until you understand the absolute nectar that we've been given. It's taken me years to figure this out. I was a practicing devotee for many, many years, and all of a sudden, Guru gave that little kick, and it's like, okay, it's time for you to get serious. And you begin to understand everything that you're reading is actually true, and then you begin to experience it, and it's on. It's on. And that's the point at which you start taking it to other people and sharing it with them, because you can't just sit on this and just experience it yourself. You have to share it. That's the nice part about it. In the association of those that understand, or in the association of devotees, it's very important to understand that we understand and then to share it. And I'm always very grateful for the opportunity of waking up every single morning and getting an opportunity again to read and understand a little bit more, because each time we read, we pick up a little bit more than we did the last time. So I have to read this again for my purification. Just as a ship rescues those who have fallen into the ocean, similarly, I very quickly rescue from all calamities those persons who uplift brahmanas and devotees suffering in a poverty-stricken condition. Purport. The Lord has described how brahmanas and devotees achieve the perfection of life, and now a similar perfection is offered to those who utilize their materialistic wealth to relieve the poverty-stricken condition of devotees and brahmanas. Although one may neglect the devotional service of the Lord to pursue a material life of dense, of sense gratification, one can rectify one's position by dedicating one's hard-earned money to the service of the Lord. Seeing the difficult austerities accepted by saintly persons, a pious person should make arrangements for their comfort. Just as a boat saves hopeless people who have fallen into the ocean, similarly, the Lord uplifts persons who have hopelessly fallen into the ocean of material attachment, if they have been charitable to the brahmanas and devotees. Om Gnana Tamarandasya Gnanjanan Shalakaya Shakshulamilitam Yena Tashma Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayamirpa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadandikam Namo Vishnipadaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Teta Swami Tanamane Namo Vishnipadaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane. So, it's not unusual. If you have been a devotee for a while, to come across situations where your eyes are opened up to the needs of others. And in text 44, it really brings the point home. It isn't so much that anyone has to ask or beg for anything, because Krishna knows our hearts, knows every single thought that we have, even the ones that don't come out of our mouths. Krishna knows everything, but it doesn't hurt to pray. But saying that, to say that when one has been placed in a position in the material world to have material things at their fingertips, it is very foolish to, as a matter of fact, it's very self-centered to just think about oneself and not think about others. I've been at different temples, and I'm sure most of you have been at different temples where you have seen sincere brahmacharis and brahmacharinis living in ashrams. And out east, the weather's not so, well, it's favorable for those that are there. Whatever Krishna gives us has to be favorable. But it's cold. So I've noticed in the past that congregational members in the right frame of mind have contributed to those that they see in need. And that doesn't mean that it should stop based on where we are. I could go on and talk about what are those phrases, to whom much is given, much is expected. A closed hand receives not and gives not. There are so many different points that could be made here, but the point is, when Krishna gives us any type of benefits or boons or whatever, we're supposed to share it with others. And if you want to know sometimes if you're doing it right, watch a person, a wealthy person, who can't seem to hold on to anything. Generally, you find they're totally into sense gratification, and it's about me, 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 me. It's very important when we have, and it doesn't have to be a lot of Lakshmi, it's very important to give to others, extremely important. And Krishna is our father, mother, Radharani, same. So a parent is very joyful when they see that their child is being taken care of. When someone does for my child, I'm very joyful, very happy. And I'm sure the child is very happy also. But the same is true with devotees, to not get so high up on the horse that we think that what we have is ours and it isn't to share. Many times I'm sure that we've come across situations where, well, again, where wealth is not something that we can maintain all the time. We certainly can't take it with us. But as I said, this particular text does cover the distribution of our material gains and how we are to share with others and how Krishna saves us or rescues us when we have that particular disposition. I remember someone asking me, a student, and they were pursuing a very profitable direction of higher learning, and the question was, why can I not hold on to my Lakshmi? And I mean, they were getting the Lakshmi; it was like flowing. but it was, what are you doing with it? And we had this little conversation. It's like, Krishna will not give you what you cannot handle. Then again, sometimes he's a trickster and he'll put things in front of you and see, well, how are you going to handle this? But it doesn't make sense to give one something if one cannot handle it properly. There's so many different logical points here that could be made. But the point is, we should not think that we're the all in all and the it when we have been blessed bountifully. And we don't take time to look at others around us to see what they're in need of. We don't have to have a lot of Lakshmi. Just a little thought. And what's even more amazing is that you will see how your Lakshmi increases. And it almost, I know there's an old-fashioned word for it, but it overflows and it unfolds into more than you could possibly imagine based on what you're doing with it. It's also important to remember that we're not big shots when we have all this Lakshmi. Everyone that comes into the world is a sutra. What is it? Kalo Sutra Sambhava. I think that's it. Everyone that comes into the world is born a sutra. But if you've listened to lectures that have been given by seniors and by those that are well-versed in the scriptures and in common sense, you'll understand that Krishna will maintain what we have and carry what we lack. Ananya, I can't remember. Ananya, please. Sintayo Tesham Nitya Yukta Bhakt. Yukta Bhakt. Please. Yes, that's absolutely the one. And it's written there. Yuktanam Vahami Aham. I like that. That's what we're all about, pulling it together. But yeah, Krishna is always arranging. Krishna is always arranging if you're paying absolute attention and if you're not stuck on improper things, you will notice Krishna is always arranging. But Krishna always takes care of his devotees. And then this particular text, it does explain that Krishna does notice when you've been given the extra and when you are distributing it properly. And it's important to do so. What was that old saying? My dad used to have something about people having 15 cents over breakfast money and they thought they were puffed up. What was it, Prabhu? Something along that line. But it's important. It's very important that when you are being given, mercy, blessings, material, Lakshmi, to distribute it among those that are in need. And generally, it's not only the brahmacharis and the brahmacharinis, but their temples too. Temples don't need to ask for anything if there is an observant congregational member or members. If you see that there's a need for something, don't hesitate to give. It's very important that you become aware of the fact that you, thank you, Prabhu, that you have been blessed. Sometimes we don't even deserve the blessings we get, but Krishna nonetheless gives it anyway. Lots of points that could be made here, but the point is Krishna sees, Krishna knows, Krishna doesn't miss a trick. And he likes for his devotees to be taken care of. So the point is, when you have been given mercy, when you've been given Lakshmi, when you've been given a little bit extra, don't hesitate to spread it around, because you'll find that it multiplies tremendously. And I think I mention often that at this point in life, I had to stop working. And I think that was Krishna's mercy too, because in the process of it all, one finds that even with the least amount of Lakshmi, it stretches the longest way. So I am looking forward to those that are not experienced with this and finding how Krishna blesses us when we give to others. And that actually is the essence of text 44. Even if you're not in devotional service, or if you're not directly serving Krishna, that's okay, because eventually you'll come to it by being charitable to others. There are so many different ways to get to this location here. Different streets you can come down. And if you're coming properly, they'll lead right here to the temple. There are many different directions, specific, but there are many to get to the lotus feet of Krishna. So Krishna is very merciful. Krishna gives us many opportunities. Krishna gives us many chances at different directions to come to him. And when you have an opportunity, take advantage of the fact that you have temples in the area, that you have home programs. If you are able to contribute to them, do so, because you'll see that just that little bit, your sincerity in it, will profit that particular association or group of people. Also, I understand today is the disappearance day of Srila Haridas Thakur. And my gosh, it's so important to know the great acharyas that have come before us. We should become familiar with them, because they are constantly blessing us, whether we know it or not. And I understand that, was it day before yesterday, or you, Krishna Chaitanya, you and Rasaraj covered Bhaktivinod Thakur. Was it yesterday? It is, I'm sorry, before I get into that, the extent of text 44 again is, just as a ship rescues those who have fallen into the ocean, similarly, the Lord speaking, I very quickly rescue from all calamities those persons who uplift, and this is specific, brahmanas and devotees that are suffering in a poverty-stricken condition. So this is something that we should meditate on. And if we're in a position to actually utilize the instructions. If anyone wants to comment on text 44 or have any realizations, please feel free to do so before I try to humbly cover Srila Haridas Thakur's most wonderful life, just briefly. Yes, Narottam. You're like one of Krishna's favorite students.
it.
I wish.
Yes, you wish.
I wish one day that actually comes to pass.
Yes, Prabhu.
Most people, you know, they consider that if they've got money, they've got Krishna's blessings or the Lord's blessings. And if they're in poverty, in an impoverished condition, that they're being neglected by God. Or there's, you know, they're doing something wrong, something bad. But we see in the verse today, it's mentioning that brahmanas and devotees in an impoverished condition. So my question has to do, how are we supposed to, you know, understand when we've actually received Krishna's blessings if it's not based on something, you know, that can be observed, you know, like whether one has enough money to, you know, maintain themselves or so forth?
It's a good point, Prabhu, because just because we have Lakshmi does not mean that we've actually, that we're blessed. And just because we do not have Lakshmi does not mean that we are not being blessed. We also have to realize that in our lifetime, we're carrying excess baggage from the previous life. If not the most recent previous life, the one before that. So if you're in a position to get some type of material benefit, it could be from previous life experience. There's also an old Christian saying that, something about the sins of the parents are visited upon the children, meaning that sometimes when your parents are doing things that are positive or negative, they're passed on to you also. So there are different ways that we can get blessings. It can be a blessing that we don't have a lot of Lakshmi because it confuses people. It really confuses a person. And it makes you think you have everything you need. But I am willing to bet that very few of you, if any of you, can tell me a person that's very rich, that's also very happy, that has pretty much everything they need, attractiveness, friends, Lakshmi, and all the other things that go along with it, and they're very happy. I don't know of anyone. Yes, Krishna Chaitanya. Yes.
His name is Bhakta Henry.
Bhakta Henry.
And he lives in D.C. In fact,
please share. Yes.
In fact, he, he was raised in a upper echelon family. Mm-hmm. And he did live, I think he moved now, and if he's listening, don't get mad at me. But, you know, he was obviously blessed from previous lives because he was living in an inherited house in the Embassy District of D.C., mm-hmm. downtown, in a very, you know, and he had friends that were in those circles, but he always hosted devotees. He contributed generously to all the, you know, sannyasis and devotees and Bhakti Tirtha Swami among them.
Bhakti Henry.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he's pretty famous in the movement.
Really?
Because, and he is very happy and he really enjoys doing service and he's obviously blessed with a certain amount of wealth. I mean, who knows how much, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, he contributes generously, and he's always very happy to serve.
That's interesting. And
I do know one person.
Okay. All right, Prabhu.
I have to follow up on Bhakta Henry. Last time he was here.
You know Bhakta Henry.
We do. He has a sister collection of these paintings, a smaller selection of B.G. Sharma paintings that are mm-hmm. on tour right now here in the United States. They were shown at the Dallas Museum of Fine Art for about the last 6 months, and the organizer for that museum is also in charge of the museum in New York City, mm-hmm. New York's Museum of Fine Art. And I was talking to her about different, you know, things that the devotees are into, and she's told me, "What are you guys waiting for?" She said, "You know, that's what I do for a living. I put up museum exhibits. I mean, why don't you guys give me something about Krishna consciousness to put in the museum.
Why don't we?
She said, I've been waiting for this for 20 years.
Huh.
Anyway, Bhakta Henry, his one fear is meeting with Ambarish Prabhu.
Fear?
Yes, because he told me that, you know, Ambarish Prabhu is also very wealthy, right? Him and his wife, they've donated $35 million for the temple of Vedic Planetarium and so forth. And so he told me that his only fear right now is that Ambarish is going to expect him to do something like him and his wife did.
He should be so fortunate.
But also, Bhakta Henry is... he's very peaceful and happy, and you know, you can see that by all his charity, you know, Krishna has really given him a lot of blessings.
So yes,
he has very many good qualities also. But my question is, I don't understand, why is there a distinction between Brahmins and devotees? What is the difference between a Brahmin and a devotee?
Wow. Good one. Good one. Good one. Generally, let me say this right, because as I always say, once it's out the mouth, I can't take it back. The level of sincerity and devotion and austerity that a Brahmana goes through, sometimes is a bit more than the average devotee, if there's such a thing as an average devotee. Brahmanas are not expected to, in the ideal situation, to work or have someone give them instructions or to have some other master other than Krishna. Devotees, you'll find, need to work in order to live. Brahmanas can perform sacrifices, and they are noted as teachers. Not to say that devotees are not, but it is very important that a Brahmana takes those that life requirement lesson seriously, because that is what they're noted for, teachers, performers of sacrifices, receivers of charity. Devotees can receive charity also, but the Brahmanas, strictly devoted to Krishna. Krishna is the master. Krishna is the one that the Brahmana is serving. No ifs, ands, or buts. But on the other note, we shouldn't be so puffed up if we are given the title of Brahmana, because sometimes you'll get it just to see what you can and cannot do. Sometimes it's given to you to perform nicely, and if you're puffed up, you'll fall flat on your face. So, you know, a devotee is as important to the Lord as a Brahmana. Not to say that the Lord has favorites, but the Lord knows what Brahmanas go through. So there's a level. There is a level of appreciation and attention that one is given, depending on whether or not one is Brahmana or devotee. Boy, I don't know if that came out right.
Wonderful.
Because that could really get me a lot of flack. Yes.
I have a slight follow-up. In other words,
please introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm Brian.
Brian, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. Thank you. In other words, all Brahmanas are devotees, but not all devotees are Brahmanas, necessarily. Do I understand?
See, that's the crux of my question. See, is there an implication here? And I thank you for the way you answered the question. So, it seems like, you know, devotees is a broader class, and among the devotees, there may be some who are in the occupation of
a
Brahmana.
That's a very good way of putting that, Prabhu.
However, is there also an implication that some Brahmanas are not Vaishnavas, but they're also dear to Krishna?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So what is the characteristic of those Brahmins who are not devotees, and how can they be Brahmins and not be devotees?
Ah, the characteristic of a Brahmana that is not a devotee. That's a really good one, Prabhu. Yes, yes.
Maybe that's our cue to speak about Haridas Thakur.
Okay, Haridas.
But here's what I was just reading yesterday in the Bhagavad Gita. It's Srila Prabhupada comments about Brahmanas who are pursuing an understanding of the absolute truth, but have not come to the realization of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm.
And he distinguishes the Brahmana, maybe someone, as you said, a teacher, one who's studying the Vedas, and even they may go on for, you know, years in studying the Vedic literature and not come to the correct understanding.
That's true.
So Prabhupada, he mentions about how there's the importance of accepting a bona fide spiritual master in disciplic succession to actually, for a Brahmana to come to the perfected stage of becoming a Vaishnava. Because on our own, from this point of speculation or even studying the Vedas, there's a very thin, you know, window, or very thin, small opportunity to come to that complete realization.
There is.
So he makes a distinction between a Brahmana who is Brahman realized but may not be Paramatma or Bhagavan realized.
Mm.
So Brahmana, yes, Krishna is favorable to anyone who's trying to understand,
yes,
you know, the absolute truth. But on the other hand, the Vaishnava, or the person who's accepted Krishna as the personality of God and who's rendering devotional service to Krishna, is very dear to Krishna.
Very dear. Absolutely.
Even
absolutely.
Prabhupada mentions how many great scholars they've interpreted the Bhagavad Gita with an impersonal conception.
Yes.
Talking about, you know, there's a particular famous PhD who, you know, describes that Krishna's body is a manifestation of Brahman manifesting in the material energy, and it is under the modes of material nature, and how the actual supreme absolute truth is the dark unknown within Krishna. Prabhupada mentions this term that he actually coined, you know, this famous scholar of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, a so-called, you know, scholar. But Prabhupada points out that, see, these misconceptions are prominent within those who do not accept the guidance and become submissive or submit to the disciplic succession, the acharyas of this disciplic succession. Hare Krishna.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much for that. And just a slight follow-up.
Yes, Krishna.
Does that mean that they're learning from hereditary caste brahmanas who have sort of, you know, lost their lineage or are not fully connected to a lineage? Hmm. Like, where are they, if they're studying the Vedas, who are they studying under, and why aren't they getting, you know, the knowledge?
Prabhupada's explanation alludes to, for example, if I was to give you a book about surgery and you were to study it and then you were to self-proclaim yourself as a surgeon, right? So you're already laughing about it. But that's kind of the condition in a spiritual life, not only through the caste system, being born as a Brahmin, but also, even in America today, spiritualism has become something of a self-appointed, you know, status of, you know, what, I don't know what you want to call it, a spiritual hallucination. Or I find also there's a tremendous spiritual democracy that takes place in America where groups of people get together and they proclaim, okay, this yogi is now God. Right? Prabhupada addressed all of these things, but all of these deviations, you know, become prominent, Prabhupada points out, when we don't accept the authority of the disciplic succession. And I think that's what we're witnessing to the greatest extent.
Disciplic succession is very key.
So this will be my last comment, but
no, it's okay.
There is, so on the point of, so the word Brahmana, You know, Krishna says, Brahmano hi pratishtaham, and we know that I am the foundation of the impersonal Brahman. We've heard that it's the effulgence of the Lord's body. And we've also heard Vedanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yaj gyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdate. So that the seers of the absolute truth have reported that they've experienced it in three phases: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan.
Mm-hmm.
So there are also some, I've had personal experience with some groups that are sort of based on, loosely on Buddhism, and then they mixed in a little bit of Scientology, and then they started their own thing. It's a group called Avatar, not to be confused with anything else by the meaning of the word. They just like the word. But they teach you through a series of exercises that are heavily jnana based, that you're transcendental to the body, that you're beyond the body.
They go beyond the body?
They give you that realization over a 9-day period, 10 hours a day, in a controlled environment. So I'm thinking that it's things like that where, and then some people take it to the conclusion of, I'm God. And other people go sort of to the other way, well, I'm not this body, but they still haven't maintained faith in God. And so, I think it's a matter of personal sort of inclination, whether you go the Mayavad route and say, there's no God and it's all Maya, it turns out I am God, right? Or if you actually are just an innocent person realizing that I'm not the body and that there's a spirit.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the Brahman realization that, pleases Krishna, is that progressive monism, So.
Thank you.
How are we doing here?
No.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing. Does anyone else have any comments you want to share or make? Anyone? But that's why it's so important to have proper disciplic succession. That's why it's important to know who has come before you. It's very important. And I don't know, for a quick moment I thought about when Narottam was saying how people are born in Brahmana. It made me smile because there are people that actually think that because they're, and this has probably nothing to do with what you said, but people that have been born in a Brahmana family think they're automatically Brahmins. It's like a person that's in the family of a doctor thinks, oh, my father's a doctor, so I'm automatically a doctor. There is so much, information that we need to be made aware of, as devotees. And of course, a Brahmana is a devotee. I better be careful how I distinguish that. But just think of it this way. Everyone is where they are. Everyone is where they are right now because that's where they belong based on their past. And there's a phrase from, is it Sri Ashapanishad or which... For those who serve with love and devotion, their destiny changes. So constantly, who we are in life, we're constantly gravitating. And if we're on the proper path, and if we have the proper association, which is why association, good, really good association, is so key. Taking a spiritual master is really key. I noticed when you were talking about the devotee in, where was it again? Was it Washington or D.C.? He's Bhakta Henry. And I'm taking that he has not taken initiation. I'm not going to say that. He's still getting the benefits. He's being... Yeah, he's getting the benefits still, so Yeah, there's sometimes when one does not take association, and this is kind of specific to this text. Okay, so you're not serving the Lord directly, but you're being charitable and you're distributing. The Lord notices that eventually. You'll come to him eventually. Very key. Yes, Naratam?
I don't know if someone can turn that alarm clock off.
I don't know where it's coming
where
from.
Where is that? Oh, yeah, that's what happened last time, that the security system started to heat up, and it's telling that it's overheating. That's what it is. Yeah, it's some kind of fan on the unit because it's in that closet. That's what it is. Thanks for reminding me.
Okay.
I'll talk to Prema Sindhu or to Russ Rush. Yeah, there's an example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Raghunath Das Goswami's uncles. And they were, they had accepted Lord Chaitanya as the personality of Godhead. Mm. And they were giving charity to Raghunath Das Goswami. You might remember Raghunath was organizing these big feasts and other things for the devotees. Mm. But at a certain point, he refused to accept the charity from his uncles. You know, when we talk about accepting charity, you know, my question has to do with the criteria.
Hmm.
You see, in other words, does a devotee accept charity and use it exclusively for Krishna, or do we accept charity and maintain ourselves, or do we specify that to the person that's giving us charity, you know, that I need this for my wife and kids, or do, you see, that's one part of the question, and then the other part is, is somebody like Raghunath Das Goswami's uncles, you know, they were like pursuing, making as much money as possible. They were extremely wealthy, right? And they were using their time to amass wealth. Are they grihasthas or are they grihamedis? In other words, is that an ashram? Just to like, okay, I don't practice sadhana, and I just go out and make as much money as possible. I give, you know, to the devotees that I like, right? Or to the projects that enthuse me. And then the rest of the time I just keep it, you know, as much money as possible for, you know, whatever I seem to be interested in at the time. You know, is that actually, are you going to make spiritual advancement like that? And, you know, and then also for the devotee who's accepting the charity, I mean, does a devotee just go on in an impoverished way, or do they use some of that wealth to, you know, rectify their poverty in the name of serving Krishna? Is that also, you know, is that correct? That's my question.
I always like it, Naratam, because you give me a plethora of questions, and it's like, okay, so now which one do I answer?
Together, you know,
but which one specifically? I am trying to pinpoint out of everything that you're saying. Yes, yes, go ahead.
I'd like to ask these questions to you.
I know. Yes, I know. Only with the association of devotees. Yes. Is what an ashram?
I thought out of all that you said, which is a lot, you know, is collecting a lot of wealth. You know, you have faith in God. You believe Lord Chaitanya's, you know, Supreme Lord. You make a ton of money, and you just give it to, you know, the devotees that you like, you know, generously. His question was, is that an ashram? Right?
Yeah. I mean, is that, are you a grihamedi or are you a grihasta?
Are you a grihamedi? Does that make you a grihamedi or a grihasta?
Is that somebody pursuing sense to enjoyment in the name of spiritual life? Or is that actually
well, to should we recommend what specifically should, that should, they give the wealth to devotees? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying is that pursuit spiritual?
Well, you know what? It could be. It could be a little bit of both. But when, as I said, even though one is not you know, coming to the temple every day and chanting and reading and listening to lectures, but they're giving. It's a little bit of, they're enjoying the fact that they're doing it. Is it an ashram? It depends on what is your definition of an ashram. Ah, but then that's the opportunity I have to bounce it back and say, what do you think? What is your definition of an ashram? It could be the potential. It could very well be the potential in that particular person's sight, in their viewpoint in what they're doing, that they are actually part of an ashram, their ashram that they're giving, even though they're not serving Krishna directly, they're serving someone who is serving Krishna.
Okay, wait, I have something.
I was afraid of that.
Oh, great. Okay, we're going to get Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu's got an answer. Okay, yesterday I read this incredible story by Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is talking about a man who leaves his family, who's very rich, and he goes to Vrindavan.
Uh-huh.
So he asks his wife, please send me 200 rupees a month. And, but you, my dear wife and kids, you guys keep all the crores of rupees, means millions of dollars that I've raised in my life. I give that to you, my dear wife, and I give that to you, my dear children. But for me, I'm going to Vrindavan, and you please send me 200 rupees a month for my maintenance. So Prabhupada says that Krishna is not dumb, and that if a person does that, Krishna sees, oh wow, he's given, $10 million to his wife and kids, but for me, he's just bringing 200 rupees to Vrindavan. So Krishna will then, he will manifest himself in to the degree of that 200 rupees are worth. But if he would have given the billions of dollars or whatever in Krishna's service, and Krishna would have manifested himself fully. So Prabhupada gives this story specifically about a person going to surrender to Krishna and using their wealth for their family. Mm-hmm. But here's an answer here, Krishna Chaitanya.
Yeah. That's beautiful, beautiful story.
To okay, go ahead.
In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, you know, always think of me, become my devotee, you know, offer your homage to me, you know, do everything for me, and this is why I promise you'll come to me, right? Mm. But he says, if you can't do this, then do something else. And if you can't do this, then do something. So, you know, so then he says, well, if you can't always think of me, then just work for me, because by working for me, you'll eventually become purified enough to think of me.
Yes.
And then he says, if you can't even work for me, then, you know, because of some social, you know, situation. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe you're in a Muslim country and you can't serve Krishna externally. Or maybe you just are not so inclined, but you kind of want to do something spiritual, whatever.
Hmm.
Krishna says, if you can't even do that, you know, just try to, like, give in charity and give away the fruits of your activities so that you're not being attached to them, right? So I don't think we recommend it. What we recommend people do is take to the process of pure devotional service as given by Srila Rupa Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, our gurus, right? We say, take to the full process. Here's the full process. Go for it. But then people find their own level. And if people find that they repeatedly, you know, are failing at maybe the highest thing, they can find the place where they feel comfortable. And I wouldn't say it's an ashram. I would say it's a stage of progress towards pure devotional service.
Ah.
And so therefore, I would argue, this is my humble opinion, that a householder in such a position, if they're doing the best that they can, then they're not a grihamedi. They're a grihasta.
That's a very good point.
Thank you very much.
Very good point. Yes, Bhaktivinoda.
I can't help but think of the example of George Harrison. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, need I say more? Or like...
No, you said it.
Peter Burwash, for example. Have you ever heard of Peter Burwash? Right. People like this. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, look what George Harrison accomplished. Look what he did for Prabhupada, etc. Right?
And then George Harrison had a devotee there at his bedside when he left his body. Yeah.
This point that Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu made about attachment to material things, I think, is a major consideration in amassing wealth. That, you know, in other words, I build a beautiful home, I get a great car, I have a slush fund, you know, that I can, you know, fly around the world with my family, and, you know, and all these things become attachments. So, George Harrison, Peter Burwash, these are great examples, but if you look more carefully, you're going to see that in general, a person that is focused on, you know, they're amassing their wealth and those material assets, they generally are attached to them, and also it generally leads to other difficulties for them spiritually. Alcoholism, drugs, hunting women, yeah. all these things come into play because a person is seeing it, you know, as a license. Or as an option. I don't want to, you know, speak badly about anybody in particular. Mm. But in general, you know, we see that, unless that wealth is used specifically, you know, under the guidance of, you know, a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, or an advanced Vaishnavas, or a team of devotees working together, generally it's leading the person into some type of attachment that is going to result in sensual enjoyment.
Unfortunately.
That's the case that, you know, is pretty much the history of that type of pursuit.
Mm.
Attachment. Prabhupada mentions it specifically, like in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He's talking about amassing wealth and becoming attached to it. Mm. You know? So that would just be a side warning that I have for it. That I think it comes down to the seriousness of our commitment to spiritual life.
Well, it does. It does. It does. In essence, it really does. That's why, this is why it is important. This is one of the many reasons why it's important to be in the Association of Devotees. You have so much information, that has been amassed by each and every one of us, and we can all bring something very important to the table. Extremely important, but, everyone in the right mindset can offer something to Krishna, to spiritual advancement, or to one that is trying to dovetail their actions in the devotion of the Lord. So ultimately, eventually one does not lose, because, as you said, Srila Prabhupada would say, and I like that part. That's what got me into Krishna consciousness, because initially everything was too strict. It's like, I can't do this. But it was like, if you can't do this, do that. And if you can't do that, do this. And eventually it leads you. It really does. It will lead you to the lotus feet of Krishna. It will. But don't stop trying to do, regardless of whether or not you're on the receiving end or the giving end. Both ends are important. So, does anyone else have any more comments? I like it when we can discuss like this. Any more comments? And I'll read something briefly. It's impossible to read anything briefly about Srila Haridas Thakur. But Bhaktivedanta Swami did a Reflections on Sacred Teaching in Harinam Chintamani. And the point I wanted to make is that Krishna loves for his devotees to be grand, to get the benefits. Krishna needs absolutely nothing from us. He puts his devotees in a position so that either they can learn from it or benefit from it, or that they're in a very good position. I mean, even Arjun was put into anxiety so that he could answer specific questions that were necessary in putting the Bhagavad Gita together. Lord Chaitanya requested Srila Haridas Thakur to speak. As a matter of fact, what do they call Namacharya? Yeah, Namacharya. Srila Haridas Thakur was considered Namacharya. And there's so much that is written about Srila Haridas Thakur, but the Namacharya, which has the description of Srila Haridas Thakur, he's the foremost spiritual authority on the subject of the holy name, one who teaches the offenseless chanting of the holy name by example. And the nice part about Srila Haridas Thakur, and the lesson that we can also learn, there are a lot of lessons, but the point is Srila Haridas Thakur was Muslim. So what is he doing chanting the Maha Mantra? This is the nice part about it. Krishna lets you know, if you're paying attention, we are not these bodies, you know, so don't get attached to it. Srila Haridas was so intent that the members of his community thought, well, if we beat him in 22 marketplaces and he survives, then maybe we should acknowledge him. Well, they did, and he survived, and Krishna took the licks because Lord Chaitanya understood the sincerity of this devotee. In Jagannath Puri, what is it? I'm not quite sure what the requirement is to enter Jagannath Puri if you have to be, even those that are born in India, are not everyone is allowed into the temple. Well, Haridas Thakur, being Muslim, was not allowed into the temple, and he didn't bother going there and trying to get in. You know, he served Lord Chaitanya in a manner in which he was comfortable. And Lord Chaitanya, as a lesson to all of us, was so merciful that he would go to Haridas Thakur's, would he take prasadam? Yeah, to Haridas Thakur's home. And he would have association with Haridas Thakur. It didn't matter that Haridas Thakur couldn't go into Jagannath temple. The temple came to him. So we don't... Yeah, Jagannath came to him. So that was one really good example of we are not these bodies. Krishna still held him in a very high position. He uses his devotees so that they can be glorious. And Srila Haridas Thakur was no exception. I was going to read from Reflections on Sacred Teachings, Srishi Harinam Chintamani. And I'll do it briefly because I like it when you've got that back and forth banter between, you know, between devotees. I like that. So that's important. But this is in, briefly, this is like the introduction Bhakti Tirtha gives. He says, although the chanting of the Lord's holy name may seem simple, the process contains many significant and profound points. In the Sri Harinam Chintamani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeals to Srila Haridas Thakur to speak high philosophy on the potency and efficacy of the holy name. From time to time, we see how Krishna uses his intimate associates to relay important messages. And for instance, the Sri Harinam Chintamani, Krishna is using Haridas Thakur, who is a Mohammedan Muslim, for a special purpose. This is significant because it shows that the holy name is not based on varna and ashram, or on time, place, and circumstance. It has no connection with caste. And in the first chapter, the Hari Nam Chintamani opens with a sweet scene in which Srila Haridas Thakur is feeling in great awe in the presence of Lord Chaitanya. And this is one of the quotes, what a description. Srila Haridas fell at the Lord's lotus feet and clasped them tightly. His entire... You're going to give this lecture too, aren't you? Haribo. Haribo, Bidda. Chanting the holy name. Regardless, his entire body went into rapture and he offered humble prayers punctuated by shivering and tears. In a choked voice, Srila Haridas said, "My Lord, your wonderful pastimes are unfathomable. I am unfortunate and illiterate. My only anchor is your lotus feet. What is the use of asking questions of a worthless person like me?" And here Lord Chaitanya is putting Srila Haridas Thakur in a position, again, to be glorious. As he embraces Mahaprabhu's feet while trembling and crying, there is a transmission of love and empowerment. He feels humbled by the idea of speaking and entirely unqualified, but at the same time, he does not block the transmission and asks the Lord to use him and speak through him. Krishna could have spoken directly, but he wants to glorify his devotee. He comes through this medium to emphasize the accessibility of his mercy despite a seeming lack of qualification. Srila Haridas feels such love and affection since Mahaprabhu is with him and is asking him to speak. He just wants to be available and used according to the Lord's desire. It goes on. Srila Haridas Thakur then mentions that the primary process in this age, the age of Kali, is the chanting of the holy name. And this is Hari Nam Chintamani, page 10. The Lord's holy name is always present. Therefore, it is the most efficient process. When the means becomes the ends, the process becomes identical to the objective. And thus it is easy for the jivas to attain liberation by your mercy. The Yuga Dharma, the religious process in Kali Yuga, is unique due to the similarity between the means and the end. The goal is fully contained within the holy name. For example, Gurudev goes into a personal situation. But it is very important to realize that regardless of, and this is brief, this is very brief, because I know we've run over time, but Krishna allows it. But it is very significant that you do not have to have certain qualifications. You don't have to be born in a specific country or be of a specific body type or language. Regardless of who you are, constantly remember, we are not these bodies. And in Srila Haridas Thakur's situation, the Lord used him, jiva, spirit soul, to glorify the process of chanting the holy name. And we are so fortunate that even though as difficult as things are in Kali Yuga, and they are, we've just kind of grown into it. Some of us don't really realize how difficult it is compared to the previous yugas. As difficult as it is, we have been given the process of chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. so simple, but it can be so complicated sometimes. But we have been given the holy name to chant, to get to the lotus feet of our Lord, to discover who we are. And it is a wonderful process when you can understand it. Will everything be perfect? No. But they could be a lot worse than they are. But because as devotees, we are given the benefit of what we go through, the Lord helps us along in whatever our endeavors are. And when you have been given a little, spread it. Give it to others. Every single one of us could be little miniature gurus, spreading the holy name. It would be wonderful if everyone in the world understood the process of chanting and chant it. What a peaceful world this would be, I pray. So we'll end at this point. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.